You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So when you touched on the word cholesterol, you actually made me realize that the importance of actually going for those, I don't know whether to call it the BMI check or the BMI test or whichever you call it, is quite key and important also, just to treat any of the underlying causes that could be high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or abnormal heart rhythm or clotting disorders. So it's always important to go for those tests.
Yes. So a BMI check especially will give you an idea of whether or not you're overweight or obese. And that can, you know, give you an idea of whether or not your cholesterol levels are high. And, you know, to not get too deep, but there are different types of fat that we check for as well in the body. You know, cholesterol is one of them, and there's different kinds of cholesterol, but it will give us a better idea. But how we formally diagnose that is, you know, we need to do blood tests and all of that. But at least the BMI check is a screening measure that we can use to predict whether or not you're more likely to have high cholesterol. And sometimes, you know, it runs in the family as well. So some people just inherit high cholesterol levels, or, you know, they have another condition that's contributing to that. But, you know, those screening measures, blood pressure checks, heart rates, BMIs, they help us to give us an idea of who needs more attention and who needs further tests.
Yeah. So it's definitely not a waste of time when we do those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Now let's move on to the treatment. And I'm very careful about using this word treatment, because many medical practitioners have corrected me about that. Can a stroke be treated or managed? I'm never sure which word to use, treated or managed.
I mean, both are appropriate in this case, but yes, so we can actually treat strokes. So there's a stroke protocol that most hospitals are trying to incorporate into their systems, where, unfortunately, in order for us to treat the stroke, the best is to detect it as early as possible. So people, and, you know, different hospitals are trying different health education programs to alert, because, you know, the first person who recognizes a stroke is the family, you know, or the patient. You know, by the time people get to us, it's usually a little bit late. But if they can get to us quicker, then we're able to pick it up sooner and treat it sooner. So how we normally treat a stroke is, depending on the kind of stroke it is and where in the brain it is, we treat them differently. Some strokes, like the bleeding strokes, do sometimes need neurosurgery. And that's, you know, something that's a bit more complicated and, you know, needs specialists to be involved. But the other kind of stroke, where you have a blood clot, we normally use medical treatment. So what that means is, if we pick it up soon enough and, you know, the symptoms haven't been there for too long, we are able to scan. So the scan is how we confirm the stroke, and then we treat with medication. And that medication helps us to remove the clot from the brain. I mean, the medication itself is not without risks, but it's, you know, how we best manage strokes, because, you know, unfortunately, we're not a first world country necessarily when it comes to medical practice. So, you know, we don't have fancy equipment and facilities where we are able to, you know, remove clots. So we use medication in this case to treat most ischemic strokes. And then sometimes the hemorrhagic stroke requires surgery.
And, you know, that actually brings me to a point where there's so much things on the internet and things that we share, you know, as in our social circles, where people say, if you drink an aspirin, you will prevent a stroke. If you drink water, you'll prevent a stroke. If you cough, a cough a lot, you'll prevent a stroke. I mean, all these things, they are there on the internet. I read up on them. How, from a medical point of view, what is that correct?
Okay, so I'll touch on the drinking water one first, because, I mean, I can understand why it's a misconception. I can't exactly think of a direct relation between drinking water and, you know, having a stroke, but I suppose in that sense, drinking water in general is good for your general health. So that's probably where the motivation comes from, you know, for people to drink more water. But on its own won't prevent a stroke necessarily. And then going on to the aspirin. So the aspirin is actually one of the ways we treat strokes. And the stroke that I mentioned, where you have a blood clot in the brain, is the first step in management is to give an aspirin. And unfortunately, that's something only medical professionals can advise because, I don't want people at home to start thinking, oh, if so and so has signs of a stroke, we must give them an aspirin. Because if you have a bleeding stroke, on the other hand, it's detrimental to a bleeding stroke. So we don't normally advise patients and relatives to give an aspirin at home until we've seen the patient and we've done scans to confirm what kind of stroke. Because as most people know, aspirin is a blood thinner. So if you are having a bleeding stroke, it's going to make it worse because you bleed more into the brain and it's even more difficult to control the bleeding. Whereas if you have a blood clot, the aspirin helps to break up the clot. Because an aspirin is what we call an antiplatelet agent. So an antiplatelet means it breaks down platelets, which is part of what makes up a clot in the brain or in the heart or anywhere else. So we give it in heart attacks as well. So we don't normally advise family members and patients to take an aspirin at home until we've seen the patient and done our assessment first.
And the coughing part, because I've heard that one before.
I haven't heard the coughing one yet, and I can't really explain how coughing prevents the stroke here.
So as we almost wrap it up there, let's talk about the life after a stroke. Can somebody be, because I've seen a lot of people who've had a stroke and either the left side or the right side is affected. Can one be completely treated, make a full recovery from a stroke, or it's all the same? There will always the a certain side of the body will be affected.
Okay, so depending on the severity of the stroke, people do sometimes make full recoveries. So people come in with symptoms of weakness on one side of the body. We see them early, we scan them early, we treat them early. They get to the ward, they get rehabilitation, and they recover, and people are functional. We have what we call a multidisciplinary team, which includes physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists as well. And obviously the nurses and the doctors are involved in that. But, this team is basically what helps most people, especially people with disabilities, recover from their conditions. And, the sooner we pick up the signs of a stroke, the sooner we can treat it, and the sooner a patient can get rehabilitation. And people do actually regain almost complete strength on, whatever side of the body that is affected. And, with strokes, it's not always necessarily one half of the body. We can get other symptoms like speech impairment. People aren't able to speak because they either have slurred speech or, part of the mouth is not working, or they can have visual impairments and other signs that don't necessarily involve weakness in an arm or a leg, which is the common causes or common presenting symptoms, but it's not the only way that strokes present. But people do sometimes make full recoveries. And I've seen people who've had multiple strokes in their life and are still able to function at home and do their own activities, so you'll be surprised and amazed at how well people can do after a stroke. But it's just a matter of detecting it early and treating it as early as possible.
No, that's important. And you touched on the multidisciplinary team. And when I read up on that one, there's one part that jumped out at me, the psychologists. And for me, I thought that was quite important when we talk about when a person has had a stroke and then there's a psychologist involved. And I know it might not be your area of specialty, but I think for me it's important because psychologically, when you've had a stroke and maybe one part of your body has been affected, it tends to affect your mindset. It tends to affect your way of thinking, and the people in and around you might also be affected. How important is it to have this psychologist talk to us, if especially if we've had a stroke or somebody in the family has had a stroke?
Yeah, so psychology, I think, is very important. And I think it's unfortunately, one of the ways that our healthcare system isn't quite up to scratch. It's something we want all patients to get. But psychology is important because, as you mentioned, after you've had a stroke, it's a traumatic event. You aren't able to function as you normally do, especially for people who are quite active as well. And I think the biggest reason psychologists need to get involved is because people do sometimes develop things like depression, and the depression comes from the fact that you were once 100% functional, able to do everything on your own, and now you no longer have that independence. Now you need to rely on family members to take care of you. It's just simple things. So it's a medical term or a term that you might come across where we call it activities of daily living. So it's simple things like being able to brush your own teeth, being able to go to the toilet, being able to shower yourself, being able to eat. It's things which sometimes take for granted. But as soon as that's taken away from you, people don't realize how people are affected mentally by it. And we don't think about certain things, especially occupational therapists come in when it comes to functional living, So someone might, for instance, live in a house with staircases, and once they've had a stroke, aren't able to get up and down the stairs anymore, So that's where the different team members of the multidisciplinary team come in. The OTs, the physios, the speech therapists help us become more functional. But mentally, that's where the psychologist comes in because they need to retrain you or get you through the process of becoming independent again when you've had that independence taken away from you.
No, that's quite key, 'cause some people might even those that have not had the stroke themselves might think, ah, this one, they're doing it on purpose, especially some family members. And I think that's where also the psychologist comes in, and that's quite key and important for me, because when people go through these traumatic experiences, we don't know exactly how they're feeling, and it becomes important for us to be educated in this thing called a stroke.
Exactly.
But anyway, Dr. Mayaba, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. You've left me thinking about a lot of things, and I'm thinking, is this back pain? But I think you've highlighted us to always be cautious and aware of our body and how it's functioning. Let's listen to our bodies, and that's the main take that I took from this conversation. As you said, there's no outright, sign that there's a stroke coming, but there's simply, factors that can cause or lead to a stroke. And I've picked up that, and I think to our listeners, well, you've had your fair share of the conversation. It's up to you what choice you make. Dr. Mayaba, thank you for coming through to the Adventist World Radio.
No problem. Thank you, Tamu. And if I can add just one more thing, especially because strokes are such a big part of our community as well, is that as much as us as healthcare professionals want to play our part, we need the community to also play its part. So just as a word of advice or a parting message to listeners out there, is that there's something we call fast signs. So if you do ever suspect that someone is having a stroke, look out for those symptoms. And what the FAST stands for is face. So if you see any facial asymmetry or uneven face, the A would stand for the time. So it's the t it's sorry the A, it's fast sign. So face, arm. So if you see any arm drift or if there's any abnormalities in the arm, and then the S would be the speech. So any changes in speech, and then the T would be the timing. So get to the hospital as soon as possible if you can.
Oh yes, I think I've seen that in I've seen that on TV when no, thank you very much for that one, Dr. Mayaba. We really appreciate that, and I hope we are educated. And thank you once again for tuning in to the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.